can't live. I can't breathe without you. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. AJ, if you can just turn me down just a little bit. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get started, I wanted to take the opportunity to ask the church that you be intentional about praying and lifting up the youth and the youth leaders who will be traveling starting tomorrow, really, through next Friday, who will convene in Ocean City. We have planned, we have prayed, we have paid our money, and now is the time. We look forward to all that God is going to do. If you've never seen 5,000 youth together praising God, it's a sight to see. And I thank God for the opportunity to be able to be a part of that. And we pray for our bishop who will come and bring the word to our young people this weekend. We pray for all leaders who will be traveling by air, by train, and by car. And so if you don't see us next week, know that we are truly experiencing God in a new in an exciting way. And keeping that in mind for all of you all who are traveling with us next week, both parents and youth, I will be meeting with you immediately after service over in the administration building. There's some information that I need to give you so that we might all be on one accord as we move forward to next week. For those of you all who are not with us during our time of scripture sharing, we will be coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. You can look it up in your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen. And the word of God reads as such. In the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, when wine was served to him, I carried the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in the presence before, so the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This can only be sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when my city, the place where my ancestors' graves lie waste, and the gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask you that you send me to Judah, to the cities of my ancestors' graves, so that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me and set him a date. Then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let the letter be given to me and to the governors of the province beyond the river, that may grant me passage until I arrive in Judah. And the letter of Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, directing him to give me timber to make beams of the gates of the temple fortress and the walls of the city and the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I said, for the gracious hand of God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king has sent officials of the army and cavalry with me. Next. For the time that we have together, I want to preach from the subject, take the risk. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, take the risk. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, she said, take the risk. Let us pray. Spirit of living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you would fall fresh on this, your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go before us so that you might be glorified. People of God might be edified, and more importantly, Satan might be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next. So I asked the question, is this you? Oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in situations where we have to take risk. And the pastor has laid out a vision for us, and our preaching series talking about vision. And Minister Newman very powerfully brought a word last week talking about being all in for God's vision. And he really challenged us that in 2018 that we really step up our game and that we really be committed to what it is that God has called us to. And this week our focus is going to be the risk in the vision. Anytime we do something new, anytime we take on a new endeavor, there's a risk that comes with that. Anytime we make changes in our lives, anytime we decide to go in a new direction, there is risk that comes with that. Anytime you venture into the prisons, anytime you venture into political office, there is risk that comes with that. And so in our time of preaching today and in our time of sharing today, I really want to touch upon two of the major things that impact us as we talk about taking risks. And oftentimes we find ourselves just like the person in this picture. If I ask some of y'all been standing in front of the door. You can describe it. You can tell me what color the paint is. You may even be able to tell me what's on the other side of the door, what the sounds are being heard, what God has for you, but you're standing at the door, looking, asking yourself questions. One of the first questions that we ask ourselves is, next, do I take the risk? Do I walk through the door? God has been waking me up in the middle of the night. Dr. Rob, do I listen to him or do I go back to sleep? God has been challenging me on my job to do bigger and better things. Do I do it, Pastor Warner, or do I stay where I am? God has been challenging me and giving me words to say to people. God has been challenging me and worrying my spirit, but do I pay attention to that or do I stay where I am? We oftentimes ask ourselves these questions day after day after day after day. God has been burdening some of us for years with things, but we're still standing there asking the question, do I take the risk? Do I risk losing money? I don't know. Do I risk having to delete some people out of my cell phone? I don't know. Do I risk having to delete myself from social media? I don't know. Do I risk having people talk about me, having people judge me, having people say, who are you to say anything to me when you were doing the same thing that I was doing this time last year? I don't know. We always have to ask ourselves, and we always ask ourselves the question, do I take the risk? We may ask ourselves, do I play it safe? Do I continue to come to church like everything's all right? Do I continue to play the game like I'm not dealing with depression? Do I continue to play the game like I don't have any food to eat in my refrigerator? Do I continue to play the game that I'm struggling with mental health issues, but nobody wants to talk about it? Do I play it safe, Pastor Warner? When somebody asks me, are you okay? I say, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I almost tried to commit suicide this morning, but praise the Lord, I'm all right. I almost want to drive myself off the cliff, but praise the Lord, I'm all right. I almost tried to kill my husband or kill my child last night, but praise the Lord, I'm all right. I gotta play it safe. So we ask ourselves the question. We stand looking at the door and we ask ourselves the question, do I take the risk or do I play it safe? Do I venture out there into what God has called me to do or do I stay complacent where it's comfortable? Do I hear God and do I seek after God for all that he has for me or do I listen to what people are saying around me? It's quiet. I like quiet. Do I listen to the unctioning of what God is saying in my spirit even now? Or do I allow the enemy to continue to tell me I'm not worthy? Do I continue to allow the enemy to tell me that I'm stupid? Do I continue to allow the enemy to tell me that I am nothing? Do I play it safe? Or do I take the risk? we find ourselves at a place as a church where we have to ask ourselves the question, do we take the risk of the vision or do we play it safe? Are the lives of the people in Montgomery County, are the lives of the people in Rockville and Gaithersburg and Germantown and Hagerstown and Frederick and Jessup value enough? Do we value them enough to take the risk of the vision or do we play it safe? I don't know. Is the possibility of people being liberated, people being set free, people finding out who the true and the living God is worthy enough to us? Or are we just going to keep coming to church on Sunday morning? I don't know. Am I willing to step outside of my comfort zone? Am I willing to open up my mouth? Am I willing to allow the Spirit of God to speak through me? Or will I just stay quiet? Will I continue to sit on what God has for me? Looking around at everybody, judging everybody. Will I continue to sit on the blessing that God has put within me and the gifts and the talents that God is giving me? Or will I stand up? And will I march with a boldness? I don't know. I'm asking a lot of questions, but I'm going somewhere. Just stick with me. Do I value the power that God has? Do I trust the power of God enough in my life to know that God can use even me, even though I messed up last night, even though I may have talked about somebody, even though I may have spoke death over somebody? Can the power of God restore me and restore somebody else through me? Or will I allow the lies that the enemy has told me to hold me hostage? I don't know about you, but I'm looking to be set free in 2018. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for God to show up and show out in ways that he never has before. I'm looking for God to do some things that are exceedingly and abundantly above whatever I can ask or think. But if I'm not willing to take the risk, I'm going to be in the same place I was in 2017, in 2015, in 2014, in 2013, 2012, 1980. Some of y'all are in the same position as you were. 20 years later, God has been speaking to your heart. God has been speaking to your mind, and you're still standing looking at the door saying, God, what do I do? It's tough, but it's right. The Spirit of God is saying to you, my son or my daughter, I spared your life. You should have been dead and gone a long time ago, but I spared your life, and you're still standing. I'm still standing, Pastor Warner, looking at the door. God has clearly told me to go through the door. God has even told me he has a key to the door, but I'm still standing looking at the door, asking the question, what should I do? I don't know. So I know how to pray. Yeah, okay. I pay my tithes, check. I come to church, check. I come to Bible study, check. I congratulate and I affirm the pastor when I feel like it, check. I do what I'm supposed to do. I give to the hungry. I give to the poor. Check. But my life is not being transformed. In 2018, we're not looking to play. In 2018, we're not looking to just do because. We're looking for people who are willing to take the risk. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. I leaned over to the pastor earlier. I said, you know, Pastor Warner, God has a method to his madness. He set the preaching schedule almost 2 months ago. 2 months ago. We didn't know they were going to be here. He didn't even know I was preaching that Sunday. But God worked all that together. Like, how much more plain can it get? How much more does God have to orchestrate stuff in your life for you to wake up and realize that He is a true and a living God? I don't know. We're still looking. Do I take the risk? Do I play it safe? Do I take the risk? Do I play it safe? I even see the door handle, right? The door's even unlocked, but I'm still standing there saying, do I take the risk or do I play it safe? I can hear the music on the other side, Dr. Rob. They're having a party, right? I can see through the crack of the door, there's a buffet waiting for me on the other side, but I'm standing there saying, do I take the risk or do I play it safe? Pastor, I like to eat too, as quiet as it's kept. God is like, see the fullness of what I have for you. And you're still standing there saying, God, I see the ministries that you have for me. God, I see the people who are going to be set free as a result of what you did for me. I may have been incarcerated, but now I'm free. I may have been a hoe, but now I'm free. I may have been a liar and a backstabber, but now I'm free. But do I take the risk? Or do I play it safe? Ooh, that's a hard question. How does it feel to see yourself on the screen? Huh? I'm just asking the question. Do I play it safe? Or do I take the risk? And so I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm so glad that Pastor Warner is connected into Jesus. And I'm so glad that Pastor Warner listens to what Jesus says. And more importantly, not only does he listen to what he said, but he put it on the paper so that I would know what to say today. So that I can encourage you on taking the risk. Now, for those of you all who aren't members here, God is getting ready to move us to another level. You in the right place at the right time, hooked up with the right people, because God is on the move in this place. And one of the things that we've been preaching about to our congregation is the fact that we got to get ready. This is going to be a game-changing year for us. And so it's good that you're hooked up with us, because God is going to bless you too. Isn't that good news? By the virtue of the fact that God has allowed you to come in this place, God is going to begin to do some things in your life. And so we've entered into a preaching series about moving forward. We entered into a preaching series about vision. We believe in vision. We thank God for the vision that you have. And we thank God that your vision, and just to show you how God works, God can take Cairo's vision and link it up with Emery Groh's vision and anybody else's vision in order to help the people of God. I'm not trying to take over. I'm not trying to be the Indian chief. I'm just trying to link up with God. And as you link up with God, and as we link up with God, and as the politicians link up with God, that's when things begin to change. I'm not worried about a government shutdown. Social media, oh my God, it's a government shutdown. Oh my God, oh my God. Do you not know? And I didn't even come to preach about this, but I just feel it in my spirit. Do you not know that God knew before you were born that on Friday at 11:59 they weren't gonna have a deal? Do you not know that God knew come January what bills were gonna be due? Do you not know that God knows when the government shutdown will be over? And do you not know that that same God who knows all that information will continue to provide for you? Government shutdown. Do you know who my daddy is? You better ask somebody. Do you know who my daddy is? I'm not worried about about Donald Trump, and I don't do politics, but I'm not worried about Donald Trump because my father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I'm not worried about Bank of America or Wells Fargo because my daddy owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And even if the government never opened up a day in my life, God is still in control. Because that's the God that I serve. Take a risk. It's all right when you home this week. Some of y'all need rest. Some of y'all need to sit down. Be quiet. Some of y'all need a vacation because you never take one. Well, you got one now. Oh, there you go. Take this opportunity and this time that God has given you to sit down somewhere and get your spirit right so that you can connect into what God has for you. All the people who gonna call you, girl, are you all right? Are you concerned about the government shutdown? Let me get back with you. All the people who are posting on social media, well, what they gonna do? Oh, this is a Donald Trump shutdown. Oh, this is the Democrat shutdown. No, this is God's shutdown. Because God will work and orchestrate out everything in our lives to work together for our good. But let me get back to what I was preaching about next. So the two things I want to highlight very quickly. The first thing we need to understand in taking risk is that God will open the door. See, some of us are standing in front of the door trying to figure out if it's unlocked. Well, that looks like a big lock. How am I getting that? I'm not a locksmith. I'm a scientist by trade. And God is saying, all you have to do is take one step forward. Just one. Tap your neighbor, just one. Tell him, just one. All you have to do is take a step forward. And in that act of taking a step forward, God will activate some stuff in order to release it. Sometimes in life, we just need to raise our foot and move so that God can begin to open doors for us. You wonder why stuff is not happening? You're not moving. Get up. Move. Stop complaining. Move. Stop worrying. Move. Stop looking around at what everybody else is getting and move. I love Pastor Warner. Love him to death, right? And I know I'm talking about you a lot today, but I love you, right? Pastor Warner is an awesome guy, right? He has a heart after God, but Pastor Warner can't move nothing for me in my life. Can't do it. As much as he loves me and as much as I love him and as much as I love his family, Pastor Warner can't do nothing for me. He can pray for me, but he can't move any situation in my life. It is only by the Spirit of God that things begin to change. Don't ever get that twisted. And I'll admit, for a long time, I used to walk around with that me syndrome. Oh, I did that. I opened up that door. It's because of my education that I'm here. It's because of who my mommy and daddy are that I have what I have. And what God had to quickly tell me is, baby, that ain't do nothing to what anybody here on this earth. It is only but by the grace of God. The way that lives are transformed, the way that we love the community, the way that we come committed to Christ is when we plug into a true and a living God. And God will open up the door. Nehemiah is a good example of that. Now, see, some people might hate on Nehemiah because they would say, well, Nehemiah was in the king's inner circle, right? Nehemiah was right there up next to the king. But just because Nehemiah was around the king did not mean that he had the ear of the king, right? Sometimes in life, God will put us around people in leadership, but he will not allow us to have the ear of people in leadership. That's when you gotta take the risk, right? So here it says, he comes before the king and the king was like, wait a minute, what's wrong with you? You're not your normal self. Now, Nehemiah could have easily decided to say, oh, I'm good, right? Which is what we do. Let me play it safe. Oh, I'm good, King. One of the other cupbearers got on my nerves. I'm good. But he decided to believe and take a step out on faith that God was going to protect him and give him what he wanted. And it says, and the king granted me what I asked for the gracious hand of my God was upon me. Even though he was a cupbearer, he understood that he did not have the power nor the authority to get the king to do anything. But he believed in a God who was able to change and transform minds, able to change and transform hearts, and he asked a question. He took a risk. Now, for those of you Bible scholars, when you look in the commentary, they'll often, in this particular passage, they will point you back to Esther. Right? Everybody knows about Esther. Now, if you remember the story of Esther, you could not come in the presence of the king unless you were invited by the king. And if you did come in the presence of the king without being invited by the king, you were subject to death. And so although Nehemiah was in the presence of the king, he understood once again that even though he was there, he did not have the authority to be connected to what the king had. And so he had to take a risk to ask the question. The king was like, what do you want? Sometimes God will ask us the question, what do you want? And we're like, I don't know. That burns me up as a parent when I ask the question, what is it that you need? And I don't get an answer. Burns me up. Burns me up when I go to adults and children and my students ask the question, what is it that you need? And they'd be like, I don't know. I'm asking you a question. I'm giving you an open-ended opportunity to tell me what the problem is. But still, I don't know. God is calling us in 2018 to take a risk because we're going to have to ask some people for some stuff. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some people who we're going to have to go to and say, here's the vision that God has given us. Can you help us? There are going to be some people who we're going to have conversations with and link up with so that we can get the vision that God has put in this place moving. There have been some things that have happened here and there around us, right? We've seen God moving in 2017 around us. But in 2018, we're going to move to the next level where we're going to have to take greater risk so that we can get greater outcomes, right? You're going to have to put on your big girl and big boy draws and ask for some stuff and put on your big girl and big boy draws and pray to God and press into God, because what we need to do in 2018 is so much greater than what we've ever done. Just saying. But what I'm coming today to encourage you with is that as we press into what God is doing, as we seek after God, God will open the door. He will. Mm-hmm. We didn't know where money was coming from in 2016 and 2017, but it showed up, did it not? Yes, he did. We didn't know where membership was going to come from at one point, but people showed up, didn't they? We didn't know where the resources were going to come from in order for us to do certain ministries. But as we begin to press into God and as we begin to seek God, stuff just started showing up. I like serving that type of God where stuff just starts showing up. People just come and start writing checks. People just come and say, hey, I have a service here. Can you use it? That's the kind of God that we need to connect with. That's the type of risk-taking that we need to do in order to get where God wants us to. And I guarantee you, He's going to open the door. He will. Some of y'all just need to go say that to some people. He'll open the door for you. Some of y'all need to go home and stand in the mirror. He will open the door. He will open the door. He will open the door. Some of y'all need to go to your jobs tomorrow. Some of y'all need to go to school tomorrow and say, he will open the door. God, I don't see how this is going to be resolved, but God, I trust you by faith that he will open the door. He will. And not only will God open the door, but he'll also send provisions. Somebody say provisions. Not only did God give Nehemiah the ear of the king, not only did God allow the king to grant Nehemiah's wish, but he also sent him with resources. See, sometimes we get caught up in majoring in the minors, right? I'm worried about who's sitting on my pew when God is like, I need to be saving souls. I'm tied up in who's talking about me on the parking lot when God is like, I need to be praying for the vision of this place. I'm tied up in who looked at me the wrong way, and who don't like my mother, or who don't like my father, or who don't like my child, when God is saying, I need, come on, elevate yourself, elevate your mind, elevate your thinking, stop being petty, and get on board with what God has for us. Because God is going to provide the provision. In verse number 9, it says, then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. So not only did God provide him with a letter for safe passage, but it goes on to say, now the king has sent the officials of the army and the cavalry with me. Isn't that awesome? He went into the king's presence asking for himself. And what the king said was, not only am I going to give you provision for you, but I'm going to send a whole armory and cavalry with you. And what that says to me is God will provide what it is that we need far above and beyond what we can think. You're sitting here asking for a shield, and God is like, I'm about to give you an army. You're sitting here asking for a dollar, and God's like, I'm about to open up Wells Fargo and Bank of America for you. You're sitting here wondering about how we're going to get things done, and God is like, I've already set the provision for you. Stop tripping. Tell your neighbor, stop tripping. Go ahead, tell your neighbor, stop tripping. We have to be willing to take the risk. I used to be a risk taker when I was a child. My mother told me at one point she didn't think I was going to make it past 5. Because I used to have a big wheel. And when I got on the big wheel, I thought I was invincible. Like, I would, you know, be going down the street, not even recognizing that the sidewalk would come to an end. You know, my sisters and brothers were running down behind me like, oh my God, somebody get this child. But I had the boldness that I was invincible. I could do anything. I could climb anything. I could go through anything. Because I felt invincible. And that's the place where we need to get to in our spiritual lives, where we recognize and realize that we are not operating under our own authority. Of my own self, I have nothing to say. Nothing. Of my own accord, I have no power to change lives. Of my own accord, I have no power and really no right to stand up here in front of you. But because I operate under the power of the true and the living God, he can use me to do some things. I don't know about you. I like being used by God. I do. I like it. Because what I constantly recognize, and it's such a humbling experience, because every time I'm used by God, I constantly go back and say, but God, I'm not worthy. Every time I hear people say things to me, I'm like, God, that's you. That's not me. I don't have nothing to say to nobody. I don't have the ability to change anything in anybody's life. But because I operate and I take a risk on the power of a true and a living God, God continues to show up and show out in my life. And so that's simply, as I bring it to a close, the question is, will you take the risk? Will you? Ask your neighbor, will you? Will you? Will you take the risk? And let me tell you, somebody took a risk on me. And quiet as it's kept, somebody took a risk on you too. Some grandmother, some mother, some father, some aunt, some uncle. When you were out there in the world acting a fool, decided that the God that was within you was valuable enough to see past your attitude, to see past your stankness, to see past your arrogance, to grab you up and say, sir, ma'am, get it together. Somebody had the willingness to take the risk on you. Somebody had the willingness to take a risk in order to pay for you to go to school, in order to pay for you to travel, in order to pay for you to get access to things. And as a result of them taking that risk, look at you today. Amen. Look at all that God is doing within your life. And so the question becomes, will you take a risk on somebody else? Okay. Don't be selfish. That's not where God wants us to be. God has opened up an opportunity for us. I'm excited. Pastor, I'm excited for the men of the church.
Amen.
Because your brothers need you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't matter what color they are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't even matter what offense they're in jail for.
Yes.
Your brothers need you.
Amen.
Will you take the risk? No, schedules aren't going to be convenient. They never are. As quiet as it's kept. No, it's never going to be a convenient time in your family to take the risk. But sometimes in life, you have to say, you know what? I have to put all that aside. Because I hear the Spirit of God calling me to a higher place. I hear the Spirit of God saying, my son or my daughter, now is the time. You've been looking for something to get into, here it is. You've been looking for something to plug into, something to validate you. You've been looking for something to give to. You've been looking for something to pour into, and God is saying, here it is. You've asked for it. I've given it to you. Now what you going to do about it? You going to continue to stand in front of the door? Do I play it safe? Do I take a risk? Do I play it safe? Do I take the risk? It's in you. God is not asking you to walk on your own accord. He's like, I will go with you. When you open up your mouth, I will speak on your behalf. But all I ask you to do is be bold enough to take the risk. And so as you stand to your feet this morning, you may ask yourself the question, well, Reverend Hope, how do I get there? Like, I hear you. I hear that the door will be open. I hear that God will be the provision. But how do I get to the place where I know that true and living God that you're talking about? And that's why I will continue to say, I am glad that you are here. So that I can introduce you to a man who loved you so much that he wrapped himself up in human flesh. He came through the womb of a woman. He was punished and sent to his room. People talked about him. People despised him. People spat on him. But he was still without sin. And so if you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about, I want to extend to you.